Good morning. Today's scripture is found in Matthew 1, 18 to 25. I will be reading the New King James Version. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophecy, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called him his name Jesus.
Thank you, Cody. All that would like to, let's kneel and have prayer, okay? Father God, what a story. What a story, what a blessing we're so thankful for. How can we really comprehend God, creator of the universe, beyond what we can ever imagine and see, the vastness of space, creator of the smallest, tiniest little atom, molecule that we can't even find sometimes in this microscope. Such a huge, awesome God you are, and yet you chose to become one of us. How thankful we are. That little baby Jesus, your son, who is willing to come to this earth that we may have eternal life. Father, we just praise you and thank you for such love. Help us understand it a little bit more. Help us to grasp this great, great mission that we're on, that we can share it with others more deeply. Bless each family that's here today. Bless each one as they reflect on the story of Jesus. And bless those that couldn't be with us for various reasons. Watch over them and watch over all of us as we travel during these holiday seasons. Keep us safe. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your blessings. And we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Our message today is going to have a lot of music, and I just praise the Lord for that, and I'm looking forward to it. But then besides the music, I'm going to throw in a few words here and there, and see what we got going. Is the computer up and running, dear? Computer looks good. Isn't it wonderful? There we go. Got it. If you were to make a list of great love stories, what names would you come up? Romeo and Juliet? Yes. What about Anthony and Cleopatra? Another great love story. Mary and Joseph? Probably hadn't really thought of it that way, have you? You know, when it comes to this time, that story, we kind of think of Jesus, and rightly so. He is the main focus. But what about Mary and Joseph? Actually, it's one of the greatest love stories in history. The story of Mary and Joseph. The love that they had for each other. The love that they had for God. Now, this is a different focus, totally, than what we usually look at on Christmas. But I want to take a different approach. I want us to just take a look at the story from Joseph's perspective. What he saw, what he thought, what he learned. And to me, it's Christmas through Joseph's eyes, you know. And it begins there in Matthew 1, verse 18. And that's where Cody read. And you might want to follow scriptures as we go along. I'll read different parts of it. But in the meantime, just keep in mind, in this story, there's actually four parts. Four parts of this story, and we're going to share those with you. But first, we're going to have some wonderful music.
Let's continue caroling to our Lord. Sing 119, Angels from the Realm of Glory. Realms of Glory. Sorry.
Thank you.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, if you really want to understand Jewish weddings, they're a little bit different. Especially back in those days, it consisted of three stages. First stage was the engagement. And this was usually arranged by the parents. It's different than today. You know, today, young couples get these starry eyes and wonderful feelings and decide that they're in love. But that wasn't the way back then. Back then, mom and dad made the decisions. We have a little more freedom today, but sometimes I wonder if the wisdom of the old ways is not all that bad. So it's, and you know, remember Isaac and Rebecca? It's the same with them. You know, Abraham sent the servant back and made arrangements for a wife for Isaac. The second stage of a Jewish marriage was called the betrothal. During this time, the young couple agreed to be married. They agreed with it. They signed a legal document, and they were considered at that time husband and wife. But they didn't live together yet. Isn't that interesting? It was a time for Joseph, or the groom, to start planning and dreaming about happy expectations. It was a time to get together and start laying plans for a home for his new bride to come and get things ready so they'd have a happy home together. What's interesting is Matthew also says this all took place before they came together. So even though they're married, there was no sexual relationship during this time whatsoever. Joseph loved Mary so much that he did not take advantage of her. And to the young people, I just want to say right now, while you're dating, when you're engaged, when a young man says to you, if you really love me, and you know where I'm going. No. If he really loves you, he will wait. That's the bottom line. And that's what Joseph did. He waited. He respected Mary. He loved Mary very, very much. So they're building their relationship. They're coming together with one another. They're spending time together preparing for this place to live and dreaming, happy expectation. And this betrothal time actually lasted about a whole year. A whole year. Now, notice what Matthew says. Before they came together, again, there was no sexual relationship during this time. Joseph loved Mary so much that he would not take advantage of her. The Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph saved themselves for one another until they were officially married. So at this stage in Joy's and Joseph's story, they're considered husband and wife. But they're not married. They weren't married. They're just betrothed. Scripture continues, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. Now remember, we're looking at this from Joseph's perspective. This was likely terrible disappointment. A time of shock. The Bible doesn't really tell us who told Joseph. Perhaps it was Mary. Maybe Mary told him something like this: Joseph, I have the most wonderful news. I'm going to have a baby. And not just any baby. This is the Messiah, the one our people have been waiting for so many years. An angel told me this. Now, in today's world, I could hear Joseph saying, yeah, right. She says, I asked the angel, how can this possibly be, because I never slept with a man? And the angel said, that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle. Joseph, isn't it wonderful? Aren't you happy? But Joseph wasn't happy. How could he believe such a story? Joseph might have felt that Mary betrayed him. Notice, even in this stage of his disappointment, Joseph still loved Mary. Still loved Mary. Because verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You know, the law says back in those days that Joseph could have taken her to the city gate and the people would have stoned her to death. Yeah. Then Joseph's name would have been cleansed. His reputation would have been restored. But Joseph decided not to do that. He decided not to disgrace her, but rather to divorce her quietly so that she could start life over again and that he could start his life over as well. As I think and contemplate about this, I'm asking myself, how do we respond to disappointments in our marriages? Do we respond with verbal or physical abuse? Unfortunately, that happens too much. Or maybe we kind of sulk around, deprive the other person of attention. That's childish. You see, it takes real love to overlook the faults of one another, to forgive, to forget, and to keep the marriage strong. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. And it is not easily angered. That's love. And that's the kind of love Joseph had for Mary. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. That's love. So as we look at Joseph's story, first, there's happy expectations. We're getting married. And then there seems to be some terrible disappointment.
Sing with us again, please. Infant Holy.
Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall, oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swift the ringing, angels singing, Noah's ringing, tidings bringing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Christ the babe is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping vigil till the morning new. Saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of the gospel true. Thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, Christ is born in great tomorrow. Christ the babe was born for you. Christ the babe was born for you.
Ready to sing again? You guys are still way too quiet. I want to hear your voices. There's a song in the air.
There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer. And a baby's low cry. And the star raises fire. While beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles the King. There's a tumult of joy.
We know the story didn't end with Joseph and Mary getting divorced. In fact, Joseph's terrible disappointment actually turned into a joyful realization. Listen to what Scripture says. After he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home for your wife, because she is conceived, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give his name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So what a thrill that dream must have been to Joseph. An angel of God, a heavenly messenger, suddenly appears to him in a dream and tells him, "Mary is not lying to you, Joseph. She has not been unfaithful. In fact, that which has happened to her is a fulfillment of God's promises to save his people from their sins." For over 1,000 years, the Jews have been waiting for the Messiah to come. Over 300 times, God has directed the prophets to prophesy concerning him. His birth, the place of his birth, his coming, being of a virgin. So when the angel appeared to Joseph and said, "Don't be afraid, because all of this is true," his disappointment turned to joy because he loved Mary very much.
Narrow way, and when earthly things
tiny babe in a manger. Prince of Peace, he is born.
Okay, one more. Hymn 121, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching for silent flocks by night, when all throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger the humble Christ was born, and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
finally, the last part. It's a part where Joseph's obedience to God takes place. Listen to verse 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Now they're husband and wife. They're living together, sharing the home that Joseph had prepared for them. Joseph's doubts were completely swept away. He looks forward to the anticipation of the birth of Jesus, Mary's son, the long-awaited Messiah. But it wasn't long until he discovered there were hardships and sacrifices that came about because of this marriage. You have to first think of the embarrassment. You know, Mary and Joseph were living in a little town of Nazareth with lots of probably busybodies watching them. Mary was 7 months pregnant, and they've only been married for 2 or 3 months. Think of the embarrassment. Maybe at first Joseph tried to explain, the baby is of the Holy Spirit. The angel told me. Sure, Joseph, we know all about those things. We believe every word that you're telling us. Or maybe after a while, Joseph stops trying to explain. After they went to Bethlehem, then to Egypt, Joseph probably didn't really want to go back to Nazareth, but God led him back to that town of gossip. Whose son is this? Who is the father, really? Gossip and embarrassment. That was part of the price they had to pay for the love for each other and their love for God. The second hardship must have been a sense of frustration on Joseph's part. For the Bible says that he had no union with her until she gave birth to the son. Here is this beautiful, beautiful woman, his wife, and there's no sexual relationship between them. He loves her so much that he waits until this special son is born. Of course, think about the inconveniences. Every woman who has gone through pregnancy knows that pregnancy is not an easy time. It's a time of discomfort. It's a time of stress, physical stress to say the least, trial. Must have been that way with Joseph and Mary. I can remember our firstborn when he's born. That was the first time I ever prayed a Jewish prayer. Thank God I'm not a woman. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. My wife and I could not agree upon our son's middle name. But after I saw what she went through, I said, you name him anything you want to name him. And then think of that discomfort. They had to walk all the way from Bethlehem, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 80-mile journey, 9 months pregnant. Well, she didn't have to always walk. She rode on a donkey. Yeah. Can you imagine the comfort of that? No air-conditioned car, no air-conditioned buses back then. Yeah. And then they get there. No room in the inn. I can't help but share this story. It was too good. By John Simmons. He tells of a grade school class that was putting on a Christmas play, which included the story of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn. In that class was one little boy who wanted very, very, very much to be Joseph. Oh, he wanted to be Joseph. But when the parts were handed out, his biggest rival was given the part. And he was signed to be the innkeeper instead. He was really bitter about this. So during the rehearsals, he kept plotting that he might do that night at the performance to get even with his rival, who was Joseph. Finally, it was the night of the performance, and Mary and Joseph came walking across the stage. They knocked on the door of the inn, and the innkeeper opened the door and asked them gruffly what they wanted. And Joseph answered, "Well, we'd like to have a room for the night." And suddenly, the innkeeper threw the door open wide and says, "Great, come in, and I'll give you the best room in the house." A few seconds, poor little Joseph just didn't know what to do, and there was a long silence. And finally, through thinking quickly, Joseph looks up to the left, he looks to the right, he passes the innkeeper and looks at the innkeeper and says, "No wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn." And once again, the play was back on course. I'm convinced that Joseph cared for Mary very deeply. Yet on that long night, there was much that he was unable to give her. So they ended up in the stable. If you ever spend a night in the barn, you know a little bit about the circumstances they faced that night when that baby Jesus was born. Cries of labor pains. There was no one there to help Joseph. He mops her brow. He tries to speak words of comfort. I'm sure he didn't go through any Lamaze class to help her. He hadn't taken the course how to coach her at all through pregnancy and delivery. But he tries to help her in any way he can. And finally, baby Jesus is born. He cuts the umbilical cord, wraps the baby in swaddling clothes. He lays him in the manger. He goes over and he speaks words of love to his wife. And he's tired. He's worried, as is Mary, because they've traveled this long distance. Their muscles are sore. Their minds are tired. Now they can rest at last. And he leans back on the straw. But there's strange sounds outside. People are coming. He opens the doors and he sees shepherds. They come to worship because an angel told them the Savior is born. The story is true. Thank God. The story is true. Joseph tells this story that we might know a little bit about what he went through. And the love he had for Mary. Incredible. And now their love review is the greatest true story of love, the Christmas story. This morning, as we conclude this, I just want to give the invitation. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, please do. Because the hope is glorious. The hope is encouraging. The hope gives us life eternal. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior, I pray. Because that's what Christmas is all about. may be seated. I'd like to give you a chance to respond to the message and music today. And I'd like to ask the ushers to hand out the response cards, if you will, please. Everyone gets a response card. Oh, the young ladies are going to do it today. Good. Good. Make sure everybody gets a response card, including me. On the card, you'll have a chance to fill out your name. And we would sure appreciate it. Members and visitors, everyone fill a card out. Let us know you're attending here. You even have a chance, as you turn it over, to tell us what you think. Yes, your response. And there are four questions you'll find there. And you may like to respond to each question. The first one says, I choose Jesus to live out true love resulting in happy expectations. The second one says, by God's grace, I desire to be patient and kind, not to envy, boast, be rude, or anger at those who may wrong me. And the third one says, I wish to give others the benefit of not doubting them in the direction they may be going because God may be leading. And the last one, I desire to live above embarrassment and gossip and follow God's choosing to be fully committed to Him. So if you agree with some of these, check them off. Check them off. Any prayer requests, we'd love to have your prayer requests. We do pray for those that write down prayer requests. Your prayers are prayed. Your requests are prayed for. And other things you may be interested in. So fill out the card, and when the offering's taken up, you will have an opportunity then to place the card in with the offering. But the offering is about, we've got a video to tell us what the offering's about today. Go for it.
Multnomah Falls, an Oregon landmark that brings millions of people right